Great excitement tonight, by the way, because Britain's favourite daytime jock, Wayne Carr, fresh from his Grand Library stint on Independence Hot FM, has been in to interview Edwina Curry. Wayne Carr! And I should say this is an honour for me, because it's not often that we get an opportunity to talk to our heroes, but you're certainly one of mine.
Thank you, Wayne.
In fact, they got on so well by the end, you had to prize them apart.
Because Parliament sits in the afternoon. Right. I nearly said sleeps in the afternoon.
Well, you know.
And that gives me my morning spree.
Sleeps.
Sorry, man. It's about Brian. He put me off, man. He's taking drugs. I don't agree, man.
Peter Bainham, by the way, is in tonight. He's pretending to be at sea at the moment. He's standing over there in a laundry basket in the corner, which he thinks is a crow's nest.
Thunder, hoy, Chris.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Peter. Full speed ahead, eh?
Some fog there.
Okay, whoa. Oh, dear. Let's sit down, man. On tonight's business, just 2 days after the announcement that an American tobacco company is producing a virtually smoke-free cigarette for next year, so you can smoke in total safety. It's a bit like having women with no top bollocks. We're giving away something even better right now. Two kinds of safe cigarette. Okay, the first one is just like any other cigarette, only the filter is attached to the tobacco barrel by a single piece of fuse wire up to 80 feet long. You light the fag, you sit back, you pull on the tip, your fag is outside the window, or even better, upstairs in the baby's bedroom. The second smokeless fag, well, we give you a little hairless dog that can smoke the cigarette for you. It stands outside while you relax indoors with an intravenous feed from the dog's system into your own. All the nicotine, none of the lung damage. You can win that tonight by sending us a dolphin during the next week or a piece of Lulu through the post. Also in the news tonight, Douglas Hurd reveals he beat the bureaucracy in distributing foreign aid by ignoring it.
No, I don't understand it. You know, I go in the places where I'm known and they take me money. I trust them.
Plus, the Tories in turmoil. Siege mentality gets the better of Michael Heseltine as he bursts into a school and lashes out angrily at a classroom of 8-year-olds.
This has gone on day by day. Just imagine what would have happened now. You would have said dither, indecision, divided party, chaos. Whatever we did, you were going to have our guts for garters.
This is great. This is from Ash. Apparently they were asked into a session in Manchester and they couldn't because they were still at school. Uncle Pat, that's called. That's Ash from the album Trailer. There's some, two or three really cracking tracks on that. They're from Ireland and they're about 10 years old. The closest, maybe the closest sound we're going to get to the Stone Roses tonight. I don't know. Peter Bainham's very angry about the Stone Roses. And in fact, if you've read the article about exactly, the article, one of the many articles about exactly how much time they wasted in the studio in the last 5 years, it's like a really sadly watered down version of what the Teardrop Explodes did when they were recording their albums. You know, people going around Wales trying to climb out of the passenger window of the car that they're bombing around in, bombed out of their heads, climb out the passenger window, across the roof of the car, and back down in through the driver's window. Now that is how to waste your time recording an album, not just to sit around eating chips like that, just jerk, Brown did. But we'll probably play that later because it sounds a bit like The Who live at Leeds, and I once had that album, and it makes me feel rather nostalgic.
Why are there so many people on the back benches who are so unhappy?
And here's tonight's feedback report number one. This kind of feedback ramble, this. How do you feel about people tying knots in their face?
Well, if I think people tie knots in their faces, there must be something wrong with their brains.
I mean, maybe young people, you know, their skin is a bit looser, more supple.
You can stretch your skin, can you? I mean,
exactly.
It's proven, isn't it? Yeah. Like, if you tried it today and keep pulling at it, maybe next weekend you'd be able to tie a knot in it.
You'd pull your cheeks out and tie it right across in front of your nose.
Oh, that's right. You could do that, couldn't you?
Almost like the front of a balaclava or something.
Stretch your ears and tie them across your eyes, couldn't you, really?
Why are they doing it? Why are the tying knots in their faces?
Well, it ain't got nothing to do with getting a job, is it? A lot of them haven't got nothing to say, have they?
Do you think it's a lack of words which causes people to tie knots in their face?
Lack of political thinking.
So you would say that if you don't educate people, they're going to end up tying knots in their faces?
I would reckon so.
So if a student has one knot in their face, somebody who's studying for a degree, what about somebody who's just failed their O-levels? How many knots do you think they'd end up with?
Well, I suppose you're looking at half a dozen, really, ain't you?
What would be the worst kind of knot to tie in a face?
Well, a weaver's knot, because you couldn't undo it again.
So you should do something that you can undo?
Either do a straightforward knot or a bone knot.
Is it worse if you tie it in your own face or someone else's?
Their own face.
Even though if they were doing it on someone else, they might not know when to stop and they might be putting pain on that other person.
Well, it depends if the other person wanted it done.
But maybe they get to a point, if they were tying it in their mouth, where they couldn't actually say the word stop.
Well, you're talking about the person who's getting the knot put in?
Yeah. And maybe they thought it was a good idea to start off with, and then they'd arrived at a point where they thought, no.
Well, that's right. That's
Would you say it's still better to tie a knot in someone else's?
Well, I would say so. As I said, if you put a difficult knot in your face, and it's got very painful, and you couldn't undo it, I mean, you're the one who's going to suffer the pain.
Imagine if you woke up with a knot in your face tomorrow morning.
I'd feel rotten.
Would you try and do something about it?
I would take myself to the nearest doctor.
It will say, untie this knot, please.
Well, if you can't undo it, cut it out or something.
What's up?
So what's the first one?
Up very soon, Michael St. John with a look at this week's dance chart. Edwina Curry after about half past.
Simon Mayo, dressed as Felicity Kendall, drowns himself in a dentist's aquarium.
Daniel Black is the brother with the brown shit. Come on with that one. You know, but anyway. Okay, now on 1FM, time to look at this week's dance chart with Michael Alexander St. John.
Straight in at number 10 for the 8th week running, Little Scruffy Cows and the Boiling Fader remix of Let's Deafen Lulu. At 9, it's up 3 but down 5 for last week's number 7, The Present Smell of Purfleet and Lubricated Reeling Occasion. There are 3 number 8s this week, though none of them are equal. At 8A, it's Titil 8 with Brian Blessed in Kelp. 8B is occupied by Village of 8 and Bubonic Weasel Toothpaste. And 8C, it's Thoroughly Urban Sydney and Tracy Jane Gaynor with I Will Surf 5. That contains the notorious Brian Wilson gurgling sample. And this week's 7, though I personally preferred it at 12, Burp Mitosis and Brains of Chutney. At 6, the Todd Terry remix of Michael Nyman sings Hammer. A fat slice of Prankster Pap at 5, Warren Heck and Kay Frog with Copper's Femur Crackpipe. I met the guys last week and I tell you, they're a pair of unbelievable jerks. At 4, it's the Pope and Bono ball-tampering remix of Thrush Dog from Canis 10. And will it be straight in at number 1 for the next week? Well, only if they drop out altogether by, say, Sunday, and then somehow re-enter the list by late next Tuesday, when the scores are totted up. I don't know, it's all very exciting. Down 17 at 3, it's Slumps for Spherical Jaws and... Hello? Peter Sutcliffe? Oh, sorry, wrong number. Fresh in at no particular position, Bug Cortex and Laughing at Men of Low Breeding. So here it is. For a giant second week at number 1, Chums of the Dynamo and Pummel Me Stupid. You've probably never heard it before. No one's buying it. The whole thing's rigged. But basically, it's all hi-hat and sub-bass. Imagine Gibraltar covered in cake icing. In fact, the only decent thing about this is the sample in the middle of Peter Frampton shooting a lizard.
Oh, I think that's Coswallop, frankly.
Dance chart this week from Michael Alexander St. John. Thank you. I suppose you heard the Today programme on Monday morning, 8:10, cracker of an interview between James Naughtie and Michael Heseltine. Naughtie was basically sort of saying, are you going to put yourself forward to challenge John Major? And now Michael Heseltine was going, Jim, this is... pointless speculation. I've answered this question so many times. All you're trying to do, you're just trying to push me towards giving you a slip of the tongue, and then you'll go rushing off to all your colleagues for the 1 o'clock news. The Evening Standard will do a lead-up about the whole thing, and everybody in television centre will be running around getting overexcited. And he just absolutely lambasted the whole idea of the kind of media speculation thing, which effectively worked because the media has kind of such a rough reputation for just, you know, making things up or just like pumping hot air into stories which aren't really issues. And James Doherty was just kind of like nearly crying by the end. Every time Heseltine waded in and said, there's another one. You see, you're just trying to make me say something stupid so that in the end you'll be able to rush around with your little piece of tape. And Doherty was sort of going, and he's virtually nearly crying. It was class. It meant nothing at all, but it was class listening. You didn't hear that, did you?
No, I didn't. I just heard the second half of that programme. But the stuff like the lottery.
Well, the Millennium Fund.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you see, the content of that was much more disturbing, but they underplayed it a lot more. That thing about 1.5 billion quid at the end of the century to spend on the celebrations, drawn from the national lottery tickets that we're buying now.
I know, it's really good. I saw the Panorama thing as well about it. That was
on Monday night?
Yeah.
Ah, yeah. How they're going to spend that, though, is absurd.
What a waste of money. This business of they're going to give it to the they're going to give a third of it to the first baby born on New Year's Day 2000.
Utterly ridiculous. They've totally failed to foresee what trouble that's going to throw up.
Well, basically, I mean, the way I see it is anybody who conceives during 1999 is going to want some of that, so they're going to hang on to the kid or something like that.
Well, they're going to say they're in with a chance. Those who conceive early will say, yeah, let's hang on to it. We won't have it in October. And those who conceive late will say, maybe we can do a super gestation in a month and have it out in the month. So you're going to get these mothers, like, in October, they're going to start contractions. And they're going to go, no, I'm going to jam in a cork. Keep it there for 2 months. Or the baby's going to start coming, the waters will break, the baby will start coming out, and the head will be sticking out of their pants. And they'll be walking around going, hasn't been born yet. And they'll take these drugs to relax all the muscles so it won't fall out. And then mother care will be actually providing with these kind of, these pants, these pregnancy pants, with a great big kind of baby's hat let into the gusset. So they can walk around with a baby sticking out of their pants. And they'll even appear on, like, on the tube trains. You know how people sort of think it's quite acceptable? I'm feeding my baby so I can get my breasts out, okay? You're not allowed to watch. Well, they'll do this time. They'll be just, like, hoiking up their skirts and showing their pants. And they're just whipping out a bottle and jamming it between their legs into the gaping baby's mouth, which is lying down there.
What about the ones that the kids hasn't started to show? So, you know, they haven't gone into the contractions yet.
Right.
But they might soon. I mean, they're just going to start doing things like pushing little Christmas lights up there or little fireflies.
To keep it in there?
Yeah, yeah.
So the kids I'm not coming out.
Or they get one of those little dogs, you know, those little Japanese dogs? What are they called?
Japanese finger dogs?
Yeah.
Well, those 2-inch things.
Yeah, they're going to push one of those up inside, and the thing's going to be there, barking at the fetus. The fetus is going to be cornered in the middle of in the uterus.
And then there's all these 90-year-olds as well. I bet you they'll be kind of like thinking, I could have a kid too. They'll be desperately swallowing ovaries or shoveling frog spawn up their fannies. Or they'll try anything, won't they, those people? They're kind of like the jumble sale technique. It's like, anything is okay. So they're like, they'll knock out their husbands, bung them into a pram, rush around to a husband and say, oh, look, I've had a baby. Or they'll try and get inseminated, you know, by rushing around Soho peep shows with a little yoghurt pot. Can I have some?
It's going to be an awful mess. Live on television.
Well, of course it's going to be televised. I mean, television, if it doesn't happen on television, then it's not a fact. I mean, you know how television confirms things as fact. We refer to television programmes all the time in order to try and substantiate some ridiculous lie.
Chris, you shouldn't.
Sorry. In fact, none of them seem to have taken account. This is the sad thing. None of them seem to have taken account of the fact that the whole thing is going to be eclipsed by the fact that Christ is very likely to be born again that night. Experts predict that Christ is going to emerge as a fully formed man from a circus elephant.
Mm. They'll have to hose out his beard a bit, won't they?
I'm not going to buy any more lottery tickets, are you?
No. Why are we banging on about babies again?
Broody stuff, I think. It's because Emma Freud's gone off to have a baby. That's why she's leaving. She's going off to have a baby. Do you know that careerist cow won't elbow enough space in her diary to have one? It's tragic. And plus the fact that Richard Curtis is impotent. This is the Stone Roses. The angry... Yeah. Do you know the only interview the Stone Roses did was in The Big Issue? Like, really cool. Like, they're not going to promote the album in anything else, are they? Isn't it just one interview in The Big Issue? You're not going to see an interview with them anywhere else, right? But I don't mind buying The Big Issue. It's having to read it that's a problem. I'd give the money and chuck it. I mean, how many desperate media nerds have you got scrambling for attention, trying to look good? You know, oh, I'm in the pages of The Big Issue. In fact, hang on a second, because I got this thing. I was just walking past the tube today. I had my tape recorder on my shoulder. I don't mind giving money to anybody who's asking correctly. But hear this guy, right? A busker in the tube. Okay, now some buskers operate with tape recorders. You hear him? Now, What part of that sound do you think is live?
What, the guitar and the harmonica?
Guitar, harmonica and something banging.
Yeah.
The guitar and harmonica?
Yeah.
The only live part of that is the tambourine. It was a guy with a tape recorder just banging a tambourine along to the recording and expecting money.
What a shit.
The Who live at Leeds. Just say I had cheese with a pygmy. Is that what he said? And it's balls, isn't it, really? Oh. It's Jimmy Hendrix. Anyway, but we got time to listen to the rest of this? Not really.
Please.
Okay. I forgive you, boy, but don't leave town. Cold white skin, naked in the rain. Have a flash in the lightning. Of course, the other thing the money's going to go on is all these ridiculous celebrations. They're going to spend the other £1 billion on these superlatively daft celebrations.
Oh, God, yeah. Have you got that thing there?
In the paper?
Oh.
Jack Charlton.
Yeah.
Okay, tell us what this says about Jack Charlton.
Jack Charlton is going to be launched into space in a rocket full of examples of British wildlife.
And at the same time, get this, Stephen Hawking is going to be fired off too, but in totally the opposite direction. And then the rest of the budget is going to go on these kind of 2,000 mini-events. 2,000 of these things.
Right. 2,000 monkeys are going to be driven into the sea in Lowestoft.
Yeah, 2,000 sheep's eyes are going to be dropped on Sweden.
In Norwich, two boxers, each with 1,000 fists, will fight for 20 seconds.
Do you see these jeans? 2,000 pairs of jeans will be burnt in Roy Castle's old garden.
2,000 British poets will smoke a huge 2,000-stemmed pipe with one bowl.
In Rome, this will be worth seeing, a 2,000-uddered wolf is going to be driven through Rome and then beheaded by Giorgio Armani, and out of the body will fly a special moth.
Keith Richards, meanwhile, is going to go on MTV and try to play... He's going to try and play 2,000 guitars at once.
What with?
Well, he's just going to point a big blunderbuss at them and just fire them randomly at the guitars.
Get this right, on Glastonbury Tour, Druids are going to congregate and throw 2,000 spanners into the sun.
David Bowie's going to parachute into a volcano.
And back in London, in Hyde Park, they're going to release a cow with 2,000 backbones.
What about the rest?
I think the rest of the money is going to be poured into a fund to be spent on inventing an upside-down flame.
Bloody hell. Who's in charge of all this rubbish?
Jack f***ing D. I think they're much despised now. They might be giants, but still occasionally charming. That's from John Henry, their last album, Meet James Ensor. And here's today's kiddies outing.
Today's Wednesday, the 30th of November, 1994. And today, I'd like to out John Juicer. Mr. Juicer is a con-headed, sour-faced, constipated news barker and has been a practicing friend of Dorothy for as long as I've known him, and it's really great to share this news with you.
Thanks. Everybody on the one. Paul Garner's just phoned claiming that they read out the first of the two Tano announcements. And he's just about to try the second one. Apparently they said,
I need a piece quick and my legs are frozen.
But he refused to play down the phone. Enough of the goof. Here is the interview that Wayne Carr, Britain's favourite daytime jock, conducted with Edwina Curry. Wayne Carr! Right, well, this week's guest needs absolutely no introduction at all. Hello there.
Hello.
Now, listen, you and your book, A Parliamentary Affair, is published in a non-stiffy, non-tumescent form just around now or whatever. Now, I want to get to the root of this. How do you write a book?
Oh, God, you sweat.
You're calling me a sweat?
Anybody that thinks you can just sit down
hang
and
on,
write
you,
a novel
you calling
is
me,
kidding themselves.
You're calling me a sweat?
To write a novel, a big one.
No, you
like
said
that.
you said you little sweat. What is that?
You've lost me there.
Well, I don't want to make anything of it, but to tell us how you write a book, then. How do you set about it?
The first thing that I did was write a synopsis.
Okay, so if you are a little sweat like me, as you say, and I still don't know what it means, but it does sound insulting. You've got the frame, you've got the sin on the envelope.
Synopsis.
Yeah. Okay, so what happens? You say, I'm going to write some words. And when do you do that? In the morning or afternoon?
Mornings.
And why do you think that is? Is that because you're closest to your dreamland?
Because I've just had a good night's sleep, usually.
Right. Okay. Particularly sometimes, but not extraordinarily, also particularly true with some of the people in this book.
Well, if different people's minds work in different ways during the day. It suits me fine, because Parliament sits in the afternoon. Right. I nearly said sleeps in the afternoon.
Well, you know.
And that gives me my mornings free.
Sleeps. Okay, now, listen. Date rape, let's look at that for a second. Pretty shocking, difficult thing to deal with.
Mm.
So it is one of those things that does bring a big to mind, really.
Yeah, well...
Let's get back to the culture thing. We look at culture, it unites young people. How do you feel when these hyper-visigoths like Bobby Gillespie incorporate skiing into babies on his stage act show?
Good grief.
And a lot of people, they're very big right now.
I don't like anything that involves violence. I've seen some stage acts that are horrible.
Right.
But on the other hand, one of the things the youth culture does much better is very quick use of words, improvisation, the comedy club, that sort of thing. Ooh. Very, very good. Much
that's
better.
That's all dying out now. You know, when you've got these scenes like a grown man, Scottish guy, so kind of long snout like Ilie Anastasi, greasy hair, skiing into babies on stage. Where are the words? Excuse me, but I don't understand.
Ignore him. If nobody takes any notice of him, he'll do something different, better maybe.
Excuse me, but you know, if you're in a crowd of 4,000 people at the Ham Flam Odeon and, like, you're ignoring him and everybody else isn't, what can you do? Say, excuse me? Don't look at that.
Go buy a good novel.
Exactly, but you know what? How does that help? I mean, if kids are looking
at...
Well, there's the whole thing, like the cyber splat market now that's coming in on the PC business and all the computer games and stuff. You've got sub-evil characters... Chronic the Drug Wasp, you've got the Lunatic Infector. It's getting worse all the time. How does that make you feel?
I hate anything that involves violence. I hate anything that involves hurting other people or animals or whatever. But in the end, people's tastes shift from generation to generation.
Well, that's all very duty and hip, but does that mean that you're actually approving of the Lee Harvey Oswald game, All the President's Brains?
No, of course not.
Okay, listen, I've got to ask you a question. How mad are you? Who are you trying to impress?
Oh, crumbs. I'm just trying to do a good job, that's all.
Not your maverick half-dad, Tim.
No.
No. Or your dead brother, John.
Well...
Right. Okay. Now, listen. Can I read a section of your book?
Which bit?
Well, I've got a choice. Page 166.
Go ahead.
Page 166. Here we are.
Go ahead. Hello?
Hello?
It's actually a bit long, that one. Thank you, Edwina. And listen, write a shorter book next time, because long doesn't always equal clever. Just a word of advice for you there, okay?
Okay.
That's Suede the Power. Absurd noise. Rather good for it. By the way, this Sunday evening, ITV, the British Comedy Awards. I don't give a damn about winning, okay? I want to make that quite clear. I hate them, I hate them, I hate them. They're crass rubbish. What's more, they're seductive crass rubbish. You get a load of people cheering at you, you start to believe it. I hate them. But it's a phone-in vote for the day today for best comedy of the year. And so you must phone in. Now, this isn't to make sure that we win or anything. This is just to make sure that the system is fouled up by an unfair piece of persuasion, which is happening right now. Okay, so phone in on Sunday night, dial in and vote for the day today. Get people who've never heard the show to dial in and vote for the day today just to ruin the voting system, okay? Thanks. I've just got to read out a notice about World AIDS Day. Yeah, corporate duty. All right. I sound like Kevin Green. Yeah, I suppose I've got to do a program now. Okay, enthusiastic. So this is 1FM's contribution to World AIDS Day. In order to celebrate, 1FM will be covering events live from Central Park in New York. There, crowds will gather before a giant train-sized model of a penis, and they'll be there to watch a bear dressed up as a big virus wander down the shaft of the penis towards a giant see-through Trojan latex bulb, on the other side of which will be Liz Taylor, Liza Minnelli and Lou Reed covered in meat. Every time the bear tries to get through the rubber, they will bang its nose and tell it to go away. As the animal gives up and wanders away, the crowds will cheer and Lou, Liz and Liza will hug each other warmly and burst into happy tears.
I know.
Classic there. Name check for Brian Hayes. This is Brian Hayes. Phone in now. Tell us what you think about speed bumps. I think they're okay. The only problem is I think that they tend to slow you down. Paul.
Yes, Chris.
All right, so yeah. Okay, let me turn your mic on. Well, let's just get on with the names then, really. So you wandered into Terminal 1, 2 or 3?
It was actually 3 tonight, yeah. It's slightly more cosmopolitan than the others. Get away with more.
Okay, and you wandered up to the desk.
Yeah, went up to the desk. The first two names, if you're interested, were I need a piece quick and my legs are crossed.
And they said
I need a piece quick and my legs are crossed. Please contact airport information desk. I need a piece quick and my legs are crossed. Please contact airport information desk.
Did you watch him say that?
Yeah, I had to stand there and try not to smirk as he was reading them out.
And did you go disguised?
No, but I did actually have to go a few times because there was a slight pronunciation problem now and again. So I did actually I had to take my shirt off and pretend to be Greek.
So then what happened? A lapse, a decent lapse, or straight on with a second?
Well, a reasonable lapse because obviously he needed a piece quick. So I went back with, that feels better. And now I need a shit.
Okay, spellings in a minute.
That feels better. And now I need a shit. Please contact the airport information desk.
That feels better. Hang on.
That feels better. And now I need a shit. Please contact the airport information desk.
God, did you have eyeball contact with the guy?
Well, I did for the first kind of 5 seconds of it and then lost it completely. I had to look away.
You obviously disturbed him greatly because he then went into a kind of medley of a kind of like a Dadaist cut-up.
Yeah, he lost it. He totally lost it.
Oh, okay, I got that here. He started reading out everything at once.
Your attention, please. With the following persons, please contact the airport information desk. With Owu Daffy Shebeta. Owu Daffy Shebeta.
Yep. Yeah.
Oh, that feels better.
He's thinking about it, isn't he?
Yeah. Need a zit. Now need a zit. And oh, that feels better. Please contact the airport information desk.
Oh,
that feels better.
Yeah, all right.
He's still going.
Need a zit. Please contact the airport information desk.
Several hats off. Thanks, Paul.
Thanks, mate.
Spellings before the end. Okay, while Black Francis works his axe around the studio. Never mind. Spelling in a minute. Can't talk over the big baby man. Big baby man. Oh, there he's gone. Okay, so the spelling.
Yeah.
Let's just do one champion spelling, okay?
That feels better.
So how is
Aurora? Aurora was A-R-W-U-H.
And it, what, D-A-F-F-I-L-S?
Yep. D-A-F-F-I-L-S-B-E-H. D-A-R.
And now what need I sit? Please contact the airport information desk.
Something about rock is mentioned in the title of that one. Freedom Rock, it's called.
Why are there so many people on the back benches who are so unhappy?
OK, just tomorrow's headlines flying around there. And the Times go with good luck, frog, died in my pocket during budget speech, reveals Clark. New York Times, desolate Sinatra found urinating on paintings in Met. New issue of the BMJ out tomorrow carries the headline electrocuted trout used in lip transplant. Avon County Council found hiding in tree. That's in the Independent, who appear to have nicked the story from the Somerset Austin. And just time for one more, which is in the LA Peace Pipe. Malibu Surfing Championship abandoned as Clinton's giant square wave kills 20. Thanks, Peter. Thanks, Ollie. Thanks, Paul. Thanks, Rebecca. You can come out the basket now. We're sinking. Go home. It's time to go home. We're sinking.
Download is brought to you by
Cook and Bond.
Visit us online at www.cookandbond.co.uk or chill.cream.org.